looking for stories about the Black community and you don't want to wait until, oh, I don't know, February? Then check out Beyond Black History Month, the podcast that tells inclusive stories year-round. Like how today's labor movement is connected to the civil rights movement, and why Black neighborhoods keep getting hit with water crisis after water crisis.
We're still being charged for water that we can't use.
Listen and subscribe to Beyond Black History Month on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
You know those headlines that make you stop scrolling and actually read an article? I'm Mike Rogers. Those are the kinds of stories I'm diving into on my podcast, Something Offbeat, like the caterpillar infestation in Maine that had us rethinking our relationship with insects.
We were talking about a time 300 million years ago, if you can imagine. There was a dragonfly. It had a 2-foot wingspan.
Just search for Something Offbeat in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, I have not been obnoxious this year about my football team because I don't believe the Patriots are any good this year. I said they were going to miss the playoffs before the start of the season. So I'm realistic when it comes to my own team. But Brian McFadden, ever since we had him on at the draft, and he was great in person, always love when we have BMAC on, he's been making bets with me like left and right. And at some point during the summer, he bet me a steak dinner that the Steelers would make the playoffs this year. And yesterday, the Pittsburgh Steelers went up against my New England Patriots. But that's not really where we start. Because on Saturday, I was at the gym. I was on the elliptical. Just getting a little workout in. And I see that my dear friend Brian McFadden is at the Penn State-Auburn game, working for CBS Sports, CBS Sports HQ. And he's doing a little Instagram Live. So I jump into Instagram Live, and I just make a nice comment. Hey, go Noles. Way to go, Florida State. Nice job for Brian McFadden's alma mater. And the next thing I hear from Brian on that Instagram Live is, text me. I can't wait to see the Steelers kick the crap out of the Patriots. And he was just running his mouth. Well, yesterday, I saw the game, and the Patriots won 17-14. And now joining us is the 2-time Super Bowl champion, the CBS Sports, CBS Sports HQ superstar, Bryant McFadden. Bryant, how are you?
You really enjoyed that, didn't you?
Oh, it was wonderful. I could not have Mitch Trubisky beat my football team yesterday. That would be brutal for me.
No, I'm talking about you really enjoyed the intro you just gave me, huh? That really made you feel good, huh?
I thought it went pretty well.
And, oh, but Zach, I must correct you. Our steak dinner bet was about the Steelers and the Patriots. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, it was about which team would get to the playoffs first.
No. We have two bets, two steak dinner bets, and I have the audio to back it up. The first one at the draft was you said the Steelers would win a Super Bowl again before the Patriots.
Yeah, I did. I remember that.
And then This summer you joined me. And when I was calling him Mitch Trubisky, you did not like that. And you said, regardless of who the quarterback is, the Steelers will make the playoffs. And you then said you'd put another steak dinner on that one. So we got two steak dinner bets.
Okay. Well, I stand by it.
Look at you trying to get out of this bet now and weasel your way out of this bet. I see you. I know what you cornerbacks do. All you guys do is talk crap and you don't back it up.
I stand by it. But there's a lot of football left to be played. But good win to you and your ball club yesterday, to the Pats. Good win.
Well, thank you very much. I don't know how many more victories are going to be this season, so I'm going to treasure each and every one of them. I got to ask you about your Steelers. You know how I feel about Mitch Trubisky. I know they're not going to start Kenny Pickett on a short week, but I see the Jets there in week 4. I know you got to see how this game plays out on Thursday, but are you ready? I know the fans seem ready to get the Kenny Pickett era underway.
I mean, clearly, man, in totality, the entire offense has been disappointing. It's been a hard watch. I mean, wow, it's tough watching our offense, even going back to week 1. I mean, we barely beat Cincinnati with 7 sacks, 4 interceptions, and a defensive touchdown. When you put up those type of numbers from the defensive side, that should be a blowout. But because of our offense being so stagnant, we struggled to win that ball game, and it finally caught up to us last week against the Patriots. So I'll say this. If we see struggles offensively from the Pittsburgh Steelers and – if we see offensive struggles in a loss, I think Kenny Pickett probably will be the starter against the Jets.
For Najee Harris, I know he was dealing with that foot injury. Is there something more, though, there? Because I'm a big fan of Najee Harris, and he just doesn't look right as we currently look at the Steelers' offense.
Yeah, I think it's mostly just about the foot injury. Remember, he sustained that during training camp, sat down a little bit, and then re-injured that injury, re-aggravated, I'll say, week one against Cincinnati. So, you know, your lower extremity is extremely important for a running back. You know what I mean? So not having all of that in 100% health direction is going to be tough. So I think it's just a matter of time for him trying to get healthy. It's going to be hard to do that during the season. But we know what type of player he is when he's healthy. Clearly, I don't think he's healthy.
Brian McFadden here with us. Well, the good news for your team yesterday, everyone in the AFC North also lost, and in some devastating ways. That Browns-Jets game, the Jets never win a game like that. I was just amazed at how that ended on out. 13-point lead with under 2 minutes to go, and the Jets find a way to get a victory.
That's unbelievable. That's a horrible loss by the Cleveland Browns. And if Nick Chubb don't score that last touchdown, rushing touchdown, it's safe to say the Jets don't even get a chance to put the offense on the football field because they had no timeouts. That was just a situational mistake by Chubb because he scored that touchdown. That's actually what the Jets needed. And we saw how everything else played out. But I'm happy for the Jets. I mean, let's keep it real. Like you said, Zach, usually they lose those type of ball games. But they finally found a way to win an ugly matchup. So that's definitely, you know, positive steps for them compared to what we've seen in years past.
Yeah, I haven't been irate about Chubb scoring the touchdown. I hear what you're saying. I know they missed the extra point, too. But still, you're up 13 with 2 minutes to go against an inferior football team. You got to win that game.
You got to win, but let's keep it real. The Browns are not a real good team right now at that at the moment in the season. And you just don't want to give the opposing team an opportunity. If you fall down, they don't get an opportunity. And I understand based on the time on the clock, heck, we saw what Kansas City did with 13 seconds against Buffalo in the postseason a year ago. Anytime you have time on the clock, anything can happen.
Talking to Brian McFadden, when we get to the Ravens, are you more impressed with what the Dolphins did or more disappointed in Baltimore yesterday?
Wow, that's a good question. I'm more impressed with what the Dolphins did because, yes, the Ravens' defense has been a bit suspect so far this season, but they're still the Ravens' defense at home. You know what I mean? But seeing what, 28 points? 28 points in the fourth quarter, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Zach, yeah.
They scored 28 points.
They outscored them 28-3.
Think about this. In one quarter, they scored 28 points. It's almost impossible to have enough possessions to score four touchdowns because it's not like you're just out there by yourself. You still have the opposing team's offense as well that's going to take time off the clock. So that was the most impressive thing in how fast they scored 28 points in one quarter.
If you were in a secondary room going up against the Dolphins this year, like how do you guard Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle? We saw what they did yesterday. It was a video game out there.
It was a video game. And I think going against the Miami Dolphins, the best way to have success against Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle is to make life miserable for Tua Tagovailoa. We didn't see that. He actually got in a rhythm. And I haven't seen Tua play with that type of confidence since his time in Alabama, when he was there at Alabama. I mean, when he was there, he played with, like, I know I'm that dude type style. And that's what we saw in the second half, especially in the fourth quarter. His confidence was at an all-time high because he was so comfortable in the pocket. So I think when you look at the speed element that Waddle and Hill have, they're always going to have a matchup in their favor based on speed alone. But regardless of their success, it's hard for them to receive those big-time passes coming from the quarterback if the quarterback is being harassed and pressured.
Are the Dolphins going to make the playoffs this year, Brian McFadden?
Yes, yes, yes. Barring anything drastic happening with injuries to significant players, key players, no question, yes.
Brian McFadden here with us from CBS Sports HQ. The Bengals, after week one, I didn't say I was concerned. But this offensive line, we thought it couldn't get worse. I know they made all those investments this offseason. It takes time to gel. Joe Burrow's going to get killed out there.
Oh, my goodness. And that's the thing. They're supposed to be a better unit on the offensive line based on the moves they made to improve it. They have different personnel from what they had last year. And the problems are still there. So what we're seeing from their offensive line play is something we might see the entire year, because how can it get better? Like, is it a coaching thing? You know, if it's a coaching thing, that's one thing, but one would think the personnel is supposed to be better. So they have been one of the more disappointing teams in 2 weeks of play because of the same issues we saw last year is still there.
It's amazing how that team, with that bad of an offensive line last year, because you hear the cliche all the time, the game is won in the trenches, almost won the Super Bowl with that bad of an offensive line. It still blows my mind.
No question, and that's why we probably won't see that ever again. Think about this. They won the AFC Championship game surrendering 9 sacks. That's not supposed to happen. You know what I mean? So what we're seeing from teams that are playing against Cincinnati, rush, put pressure on the quarterback, you have success. Joe Mixon is not looking like Joe Mixon. We didn't see a Jamar Chase-like game. T. Higgins, all the big-time players they have on their offense hasn't really been able to live up to the billing because the quarterback is consistently running from his life.
Talking to Brian McFadden, here's my take on the whole Jimmy Garoppolo-Trey Lance thing. Obviously, the injury is awful. You never want to see anyone get hurt. For Jimmy G and the Niners of this year, I think it helps them win more football games, but still long-term, I don't think Jimmy G is going to be a guy that wins you a Super Bowl, and you're in this point where we still don't know what Trey Lance is going to be.
And I'll say this, Dak. I think with Jimmy G as their quarterback, they're a better team. I'm just keeping it real. The numbers back my statement. With Jimmy G as the starting quarterback for San Francisco, they win more games. They're more relevant. They're more competitive. The jury was still out on Trey Lance. Not saying he would not turn into a good quarterback, winning quarterback. We just didn't know. But look at the flow of the game when Jimmy G got into the ball game. Right? Not fully prepared to be the starting quarterback. When he jumped into the saddle, man, that offense was moving. They were moving. So I agree with you. I'm not saying he's good enough to win them a Super Bowl, but he's good enough to get you a legit shot. And let's keep it real. They were a missed interception away last year in the postseason from advancing to a Super Bowl.
Yeah, that fourth quarter just didn't go their way. You're absolutely right. Wrapping up with Brian McFadden. So the Raiders up 20-0 yesterday. And then the Cardinals win. Kyler Murray, I don't know if he's going to be a great quarterback. We know he's a good quarterback. But, man, that was a really impressive performance yesterday, especially with DeAndre Hopkins out. You're on the verge of going 0-2. And he was just Superman with how many times their back was up against the wall, and he found the way to come through.
No question. No question. Kudos to Kyler Murray for continuing to fight. Kudos for him, his ability to extend plays. You saw that two-point conversion where he felt like he just had 10 minutes. It's almost impossible to cover someone that long. So big respect, mad respect to Kyler Murray and the Cardinals, but a total letdown for the Raiders.
If you were a player in the Broncos locker room, Brian McFadden, how would you view your head football coach, Nathaniel Hackett?
Oh, man. He standing on the sideline as a head coach, it seems to be a bit too much for him right now. That's how it looks to me. For the second week in a row, we saw some decision-making concerns, time management concerns, and just the flow of the offense looks horrible. It looks horrible. I mean, this offense, granted, luckily for them, they played against Davis Mills last week in Houston. Any other team, they lose. Any other team they play against, if they played against, they would be 0-2. But because of the team they played against and the quarterback they played against, they had enough to be able to win. But what I'm seeing right now, Nathaniel Hackett, out of all the first-year head coaches, he seems to be in a situation where the lights might be too bright for him right now.
And it'd be one thing if you had a bad first 2 weeks, but it's just become a mockery. I've never seen home fans chant down the play clock because they had no confidence that the coach was going to get the play in and they were going to get the ball snapped.
Yo, Zach, they were just trying to remind them. That's all. It was a friendly reminder because basically they're telling – all of us, they don't trust their head coach to be able to get a play in time for them to beat the play clock.
I'll tell you this. If I'm Sean Payton, I'm sitting back and saying I wouldn't mind coaching the Broncos next year, Brian McFadden.
I mean, Sean Payton might have a few options based on how things can work out throughout the course of this season. But you better believe one thing about Sean Payton. If he decides to return, he's going to a team that has an established quarterback. He's not in the business of trying to rebuild or create a guy. He wants a guy who's already ready and made to go and make things happen.
What is Russell Wilson at this point?
Russell Wilson at this point is not playing like a superstar. Right now, he's not. Now, is it mostly because of the new offense, not having a rhythm, the chemistry is not there? Remember, he didn't play at all in the preseason. But what we're seeing from Russell is not what we thought we would see, especially with the pass catches of, you know, Sutton, Judy. You know, he got the coverage is in there. They have some players in place, but we're just not seeing what we thought we would see.
And last thing I'll ask you, I know the Bills are playing Tennessee right now. It's all tied up at 7 with 7:25 to go in the first half. You have a doubleheader tonight. I know you've been very optimistic about the Vikings, so have I, and I've also loved the Eagles to win this NFC East. How do you think that game plays on out in Philadelphia tonight? I think that's going to be a fun one.
No question. I think that's a preview of a potential playoff matchup, me personally, based on the expectations and just how good the rosters are for both sides. I think that could be a preview of a big-time playoff matchup. So the winner, definitely, this will be a statement game for whoever wins this ball game. Statement to the entire NFL, like, we're here, we're a real deal. But I think, regardless, I think both teams definitely, granted, staying lucky when it comes to the health standpoint, Zach, both teams should get in the playoffs.
How would you try to guard Justin Jefferson? You just have to go to a place of worship and pray?
No question. Make sure you got two guys that are required to guard him. Justin Jefferson is the best way for me to explain Justin Jefferson. If Brandon Lloyd, for all you football historians out here, remember who Brandon Lloyd is. If Brandon Lloyd and Davante Adams had a baby, it would be Justin Jefferson.
Explain that. I've not heard Brandon Lloyd was a heck of a player, but I've not heard someone use that to describe one of the better wide receivers in the league with Davante Adams.
Okay. So Davante Adams, we know what makes Davante Adams. His route running. The way he's able to create separation at the beginning of the route and the end of the route. The way he basically brings basketball to the football field. We see similar things with Justin Jefferson in his route running. And then the Brandon Lloyd comparison is basically the way he manipulates his body to confuse defenders while he's running his routes. Not to mention his catch radius and the way he has total body control when he's making difficult catches. That's something that Brandon Lloyd did throughout his career. And I've heard two potential Hall of Fame corners come out and say Brandon Lloyd was probably their toughest cover. And Richard Sherman, who we had on the podcast with me and Pat P, All Things Covered, and Patrick Peterson has said that as well. Said those two guys who in their prime years were considered to be the GOAT at their positions, both said Brandon Lloyd is probably the toughest cover they've ever had. So that's the best way I can explain who Justin Jefferson is. If those two wide receivers had a baby, it would be Justin Jefferson.
Absolutely love that. All right, I'm a man that is fair. I'm a man of principle. I had to get on you for your Steelers. Now, go ahead. I love what Mike Norvell's doing this year so far with the Seminoles. Should be a little fun 3-4 week stretch here. Some good teams after Boston College.
Facts. But let's take it 1 week at a time. I'm happy from what I've seen from Florida State, especially looking at some of the adversities with injuries, the key players last week against Louisville. Friday night games have always been very, very difficult, weird-type matchups on a weird night. But seeing what they was able to do, you know, losing your star quarterback is always a big blow, but finding a way to win is huge for Norvell and his staff, and hopefully they can continue to add these wins.
Brian McFadden, you're the best. I'm sure I'll be talking to you throughout the season, and I can't wait until, like, January when the Steelers miss the playoffs and I get a steak dinner from you.
Nah, well, you'll be waiting for that for a while because we're going to the playoffs, and I'll let you know. Oh, yeah, where are we going to get a steak at in New York? We're going to Luger's, right?
Yeah, we go to Peter Luger. I'll take you to the best. Don't worry.
No question.
Or, excuse me, you'll take me to the best.
Hey, sounds like a plan.
Looking for stories about the Black community and you don't want to wait until, February? Then check out Beyond Black History Month, the podcast that tells inclusive stories year-round. Like how today's labor movement is connected to the civil rights movement and why Black neighborhoods keep getting hit with water crisis after water crisis.
We're still being charged for water that we can't use.
Listen and subscribe to Beyond Black History Month on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from. Looking for stories about the Black community and you don't want to wait until, February? Then check out Beyond Black History Month, the podcast that tells inclusive stories year-round. like how today's labor movement is connected to the civil rights movement, and why black neighborhoods keep getting hit with water crisis after water crisis.
We're still being charged for water that we can't use.
Listen and subscribe to Beyond Black History Month on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
You know those headlines that make you stop scrolling and actually read an article? I'm Mike Rogers. Those are the kinds of stories I'm diving into on my podcast, Something Offbeat, like the caterpillar infestation in Maine that had us rethinking our relationship with insects.
We were talking about a time 300 million years ago, if you can imagine. There was a dragonfly. It had a 2-foot wingspan.
Just search for Something Offbeat in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.